still going to light a candle. It's a symbol of Christ's presence with us. And I have a little symbol here for the Trinity that I like to have. So feel free during the prelude, if you'd like to arrange your own space to do so. So we're going to listen to the prelude now. Welcome to Grace United Church of Christ. We're so glad that you can join us on our virtual platform for all those watching on Zoom and for all those who are going to watch on Facebook and other platforms. Welcome here. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here at Grace UCC. There's two things that we are celebrating today. First off, this is my first Sunday with you. What a way to begin my ministry here with you all. This is just the times that we're living in, so we're going to lift that up. But more importantly, last week was your one-year anniversary of being open and affirming and taking that bold step to make a covenant about being a welcoming congregation. So we'll certainly celebrate that today in our worship service. So with that, I ask Jack to please lead us in the prayer of invocation.
I think I'm ready. Can you hear me? Gracious and present God, We come to you weary of the events unfolding in our community and around the world. Protesters continue to fill the streets proclaiming Black Lives Matter. A global pandemic surges, affecting the most vulnerable. It is good and right for us to come to you this morning, our source of hope and justice. We call upon your spirit to descend upon us once again, to unite us in our homes so that we may reorient ourselves to your ways. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, through chapter 10, verse 23. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned the 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. You receive without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they had you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes.
I invite you to take a deep breath with me. One long breath in and one breath out. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Boxes. So many boxes. Jessica and I have been in Lancaster for 2 weeks today. And since we have moved here, every day we have been unpacking boxes. Boxes filled with books, boxes filled with plates and silverware, boxes filled with sheets, tools, clothes, you name it. So many boxes. This is our third time moving in 5 years, so we've developed a system. It goes like this. Family who help us move simply read the label on each box and took that box to the right room. A box labeled living room went to the living room, dining room, garage, garage, so on and so forth. It has been a helpful system, a way to organize the chaos. It's also helped us prioritize which rooms to unpack. First, we unpack the kitchen because we need to eat, and then our bedrooms, and then our living room. And even though this has helped us ease into the change, every system has a kink in it. We have found that not every box has a room. And frankly, there are things in the box that we don't know what to do with. What are we supposed to do with old high school trophies, outdated knickknacks? What do we do with those items? There are several boxes in our basement that we haven't unpacked yet because, frankly, we don't know what to do with. And I don't think I'm alone in this. Maybe you have had a similar experience leaving boxes packed because you didn't know what to do with what was inside. Maybe that box is still sitting in your attic or your basement some 20 years later, just waiting for that one day you finally unpack it. We all have things in our lives that we would rather keep stored away than to sort out. It could be a relationship that went sour, and instead of trying to unpack it, we put that deep into a crawl space. We certainly do that with our emotions. It can be difficult and painful work to confront emotions that we don't know what to do with. Grief, stress, anxiety, isolation, the feeling of loss are sometimes too much to bear. So what do? We pack it away for later. We may even forget that it is there. But here is the thing, it comes back. We never find healing or resolve unless we unpack it. The public murder of George Floyd, an unarmed black man, has reignited not only our country, but the entire world to decide what to do with the packed box that is systemic racism and injustice that has chained people of color literally and metaphorically for centuries. For too long, those with public and domestic power have been silent to the cries coming from the black community. Even the church, with the big C, has largely ignored those cries. Many well-meaning people in the white community have been sympathetic to civil rights, but have not gone as far as to lend a hand to dismantle those systems. These past couple weeks have revealed that racism is still woven in the fabric of our society. In the 1960s, the movement was for Black Americans to have civil rights. Civil, the right to vote and the right to equal access to public spaces. Now, 60 years later, the cry is that Black life matters. As Christians, and as a predominantly white congregation, we have a biblical and theological responsibility to listen to those voices crying out. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus is on the move. and he confronts a crowd of people. The Gospel of Matthew answers the question readers may have. Why does Jesus go to this particular crowd? And verse 36 has the answer. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now the Greek word for harassed is akoulo, literally translated oppressed. And the Greek word for helpless is pipto, also meaning thrown down or cast aside. Jesus enters this crowd, a crowd that has experienced oppression and trauma, who live in constant fear of their well-being and are constantly harassed and being thrown down. And Matthew writes that Jesus immediately has compassion for them. Just as God heard the cries of the Israelites out of Egypt, the cries of the Israelites wandering the desert, the cries of the orphan and the widow in the prophetic tradition, Jesus hears the cries of the crowd and is moved to compassion. One reason I felt God calling me to serve here at Grace UCC in particular was something that I read in your church profile. This particular story demonstrated an ability to listen to others and respond in Christ-like compassion. And the story was like this. A little bit more than a year ago, you had conversations about becoming open and affirming congregation. In those conversations, two courageous youth stood up and spoke their truth. They voiced that God loves them and made them just as God intended. But they also shared how they are treated by others in society, especially other Christians. Like the crowd in the gospel story, they had felt the judgment of a world that told them that they were broken. Reading this, I was moved. First, because two members had the courage to confront the church they love. Sometimes love means confronting those around you and letting them know something is wrong. Second, you, Grace UCC, were moved with compassion by what they shared. In other words, the box wasn't put back in the basement for someone else to open. Together, you all opened it and began to unpack the discrimination people of the LGBTQIA+ community feel on a regular basis. It doesn't stop at seeing the crowd with compassion. Compassion leads Jesus to act. It is empathy that moves Jesus to join the crowd's struggle, to enter the community and be a source of healing. He commissions his disciples to do likewise, summoning them, giving them authority to act. Moved by that same compassion, the disciples are called to cast out unclean spirits, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cure every disease and sickness. With God, they are to be agents of transformation for their community, tending to the lost sheep, the marginalized, the ones who are most hurting first. We too are summoned to follow Jesus with this mission and purpose. In the same way, I read your church profile, and as a result of compassion to these two testimonies, Grace acted and became an open and affirming congregation, proclaiming that regardless of how you self-identify, your gender or sexuality, your race, your socioeconomic status, you are welcome, safe, and loved in this congregation. With God, you joined in God's transformative work, not just within the church walls, but to the crowds in the city of Lancaster who feel cast aside. The Pride Parade is a wonderful example of how your ministry reveals the life and ministry of Christ, listening and acting, unpacking legacies of injustice. This is the kingdom work we are called to do in this moment. It is the act of creating a just community where all of us in our diversity are celebrated and given equal access to what we need. It is to look at all creation with that same Christ-like compassion and to be moved to act with God. Last Sunday was Grace UCC's one-year anniversary of being open and affirming. So how are we called to live into that covenant made a year ago? Given these 3 past weeks of protests, what does Christ-like compassion look like today? Do we have the courage to follow Jesus and unpack the legacy of slavery, Jim Crow, the war on drugs, and police brutality that has taken too many innocent lives? These legacies continue to afflict our Black neighbors, and we know only too well that their lives have value. Are we willing to look inward at our own prejudice and let God work on us so that we can look at these crowds with compassion? But if we keep the box packed, if we keep it sealed and taped, put out of sight for someone else to deal with, if we aren't willing to unpack this injustice now, then tell me when.
If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. We may never see this moment or place and time again. If not now, if not now, tell me when. I see sorrow and trouble in this land. I see sorrow and trouble in this land. Although there will be struggle, we'll make the change we can. If not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me. I may never, see the promised land. I may never, see the promised land. And yet we'll take the journey, and we'll walk it hand in hand. If not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now. To mend, it will take a change of heart for this to mend. But miracles do happen every shining now and then. If not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now. And miracles do shining now and then. If not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now, if not now, tell me when.
Amen. Next, we have a hymn, Jesu, Jesu. You have the words in your bulletin, and you're welcome to sing along, follow along with us, or even just read the words as a prayerful meditation to yourself. Okay. So prayer requests were lifted up a little bit earlier. And from those, we have prayer requests. This week, we got news that Phil Liebold, who's been a part of this congregation, has been a part of this congregation for some time. He passed away this last week. So we keep those who knew and loved Phil in our prayers, especially his partner, Joe, in this time of grieving and loss. So we are reminded of them this morning as we lift up our prayers. We also keep in prayers those who are dealing with the COVID-19, the virus, those who are high at risk. And we pray for all those that are searching for healing in their community. Let us come to God with one heart in prayer. Loving God, we have all experienced what it is like to be in the crowd. We have all experienced the feeling of not being good enough, not being worthy enough, of not having any value. You remind us through Jesus that when we feel that our life does not matter, you look upon us with compassion, a compassion that is so deep that you are moved to act in our lives, affirming that we are enough and that our life matters and is sacred. Thank you for loving us, even when we feel unlovable. God, we pray for the courage to follow Jesus, to enter the broken places in our community, and to be agents of your affirmation and love. May we be bold in our discipleship, to build a community that celebrates the uniqueness of all its members, and to focus on those who are crying out. Help us to see with eyes of compassion a world that thirsts for kindness, acceptance, and justice. God, we thank you for walking with Grace UCC, moving us into new ways of being as we celebrate our one-year anniversary of becoming open and affirming. As we live into that call, we give thanks for all the members, past and present, that are a part of this church. We give thanks for those who have moved our ministry to where it is today, answering your call to living the gospel for their moment in time. Help us to live up to their legacy of faithfulness. Healing God, we pray for those in the world who are sick, who are needlessly suffering. We pray for those who are dealing with COVID-19, for family and friends that have lost a loved one or aren't able to be with their loved ones in the hospital. We pray for those with power to make decisions that value the sacredness of life and contribute to a kingdom where all are welcome. God, we keep in prayer this morning the life and memory of Phil Liebold. We pray that for all those who are grieving, to remember Phil and the best of Phil, and to live their lives likewise. And in so doing, he lives through us. We pray for his brother David and his partner Joe in this moment. In this time of silence, God, we lift up the unspoken prayers on all of our hearts. We pray all of this in the words your Son Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We now move into the time where we would normally have an offering, where the reflection on giving. Our ministry at Grace UCC continues despite not having in-person worship. We're still working on how to be Christ's hands and feet in our community and how to reach out to one another. And with that also comes the bills that keep the building going and everything else. But we also know it's a rough time for some people financially. So we ask you to prayerfully consider and give what you can to the ministry. I saw that in the chat that Jim has posted the link to our online giving. So you can click that link and you'll be able to give online. You're also invited to mail it straight to the office, where we'll receive it and get it to the proper place. One thing I like to do at the end of each service is to ask the question, how shall we do God's work this week? And sometimes that question is filled with events that are going on in the life of the church, like VBS or a Bible study. Those are certainly ways we can do God's work. But things are a little different right now, too. But how shall we do God's work in the world this week? I think to listen to our neighbors and to look at the crowds with compassion, a Christ-like compassion to seek understanding. I think that's one way we can love our neighbor this week, along with wearing our masks and being cautious and safe with this virus that is still going on around us. can also show God's love by calling a friend or a family member or a church family member and just see how they're doing. It is a really tough time for a lot of us. And so as we build community, we are doing God's work. And know that you go out into the world not alone, but you go with God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer. Amen. Thank you.